Thanks for tuning in to the Lean 911 podcast, where you'll have a voice directly from the Gemba. I will rely on my three decades of Lean successes, as well as my failures, to answer your most challenging questions regarding your Lean transformation. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio, President and CEO of Lean Horizons Consulting, and the principal architect of the Danaher Business System. Looking forward to your questions now. Let's go to the Gemba. Hi, Mark DeLuzio here, episode 85. This episode is about Lean Horizons Consulting's 25th anniversary, which actually we observed in May of 2026. So we've been at this now for 25 years. We've consulted on six different continents and so many different industries. I can't even begin to tell you. We all kinds of different companies and met some unbelievably great people. But what I want to do is, as you know, my background, I spent 14 years at Danaher. Most of those years were dedicated to creating the Danaher Business System, and I'm the principal architect of that. And we learned right from the originals. We learned from Tayashi Ono's autonomous study group, which known as Shingijutsu, the original guys that worked directly, and they were handpicked by Tayashi Ono. So we learned lean right from, if you will, the horse's mouth, right? And when I say lean, I'm talking specifically about the Toyota production system. And then, you know, of course, we've taken the Toyota production system and also, you know, evolved it to what is today now called the Danaher Business System. So anyway, enough about that. But what this episode's about is sort of reflecting back on how I have seen the landscape change over the last 25 years. Okay, the lean landscape, or if you want to call it the lean community, I'm not sure if there's such a thing, but the lean landscape. I've seen a lot of things, a lot of great people, a lot of great success, and I've obviously seen the opposite as well. So the first question I'd like to ask you is, if Tayashi Ono was alive today, again, Tayashi Ono being the founder of the Toyota Production System, if he was alive today, and he walked into your organization tomorrow, what would he see? Would he see lean in action? Or would he see what I call lean theater? And that brings me to the title of this episode, 25-year anniversary episode, Lean Horizons Reflections, The Rise of Lean Theater. And I want to talk a lot about that during this podcast episode. So what would Ono see? What do you think? Okay, what would he say? He might say, where's your standard work? Because so many companies I go into that are doing lean don't do standard work, and they have all their great reasons as to why they're not going to do standard work. Okay. That may be his first question. Where's your standard work? I don't know. So what is lean theater? In my view anyway, what lean theater is. When organizations perform, and focus on the word perform, lean activities without changing how they think, without changing how they lead, without changing how they govern, without changing how they organize. I got a lot about that on value stream mapping. We don't change our organization into value streams, but we do all this mapping exercise to pretend we're doing value stream mapping. They don't change how they solve problems. They don't change how they manage the business. And probably more importantly, they don't really change how they manage people. Okay, and this gets into the whole, you know, respect for people thing. So as I told you, you know, we learned from the originators of the Toyota Production System. And so many things have come along over the years in the consulting industry, out of academia, out of people who never really led a lean transformation, that popped up in the industry that we never even heard about when we were learning from the guys that created this thing. Okay. Interesting. For example, we were very hands-on. We did not learn about value stream mapping at all, except for very briefly, a rough diagram that he did for us on demand management and information flow. And one time from my Jamie Oba, God rest both their souls, who drew a very rough thing that you might want to call a value stream on the top of a cardboard box right in the middle of the factory. It was no big production. It was no big, electronics or post-it notes or anything like that. Okay. But we never used value stream mapping for the first 10 years at Danaher. So, you can argue the early lean movement was a lot closer to Toyota than it is today. I guarantee you that. Right. But we had leadership involvement, which is really key. Problem solving, respect for people, scientific thinking, long-term development, and the tools really were secondary. Now, not really at the beginning. We made that mistake, okay? But the tools were secondary because we knew that if we have all these other things in place, it wasn't going to work. Now, I've done several podcast episodes diving into each one of these rabbit holes about problems that I see today. For example, I think my very first one was about standard work. What? Where's your standard work? Okay. By the way, one of the key foundational items on the Toyota production system. And I've gotten in so many arguments over the years. Ah, consultants tell us not, we're not ready to do standard work yet. What do you mean not yet ready? Yeah, we got too many problems. Wait a minute. That's what it's for, right? I did three on lean accounting. Episode 8, 11, and 12, and how I changed the accounting, the traditional cost accounting that was being done for 100 years. A lot of things that we did at Danaher weren't really things that we did. We just stopped doing stupid stuff. And a lot of the measures and things that were driven in cost accounting, your traditional cost accounting, drove the wrong behaviors. So when I put lean accounting together, and we didn't call it that back then, we just did what we thought was right. We just stopped doing dumb stuff, okay? Overhead allocation, absorption accounting, purchase price variance, all that variance analysis, setting standards that were always wrong from day one. So just stop doing stupid stuff and you'll be so much far ahead of the game. Episode 24, my view on third-party certifications. I'll talk more about that next, a little later. 44, the poison of metrics. 48, death by lean audits. Okay. 72, where are the engineers? 77, the illusion of business logic. 73, episode 73, returning to the basics. 61, OEE and absorption. There you go. 58, why leaders will not listen to you, lean professionals. And 53, as I alluded to, why no value stream organization. So I covered a lot of these things that I've seen evolve or disevolve over the years, okay? And there'll be more, all right? So we were the first generation here to learn from Toyota, from the original members. Then there's the second generation. Then the consultants got involved. New consulting companies popped up, okay? In a lot of cases, corporations pushed people into consulting because a lot of these people lost their jobs. And they said, well, okay, well, I'm not going to work for a corporate. I'm going to start my own consulting company. All right. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Because that is one of the places that we went sideways, I think, as a lean community, if you will. Then you got the academics, okay? People who have never really done this before. And even if they've whacked in a few Kaizens here and there, they just, most academics out there today, I'm not saying that they're not value, we shouldn't listen to them, but you may pick up a couple tidbits here and there, but these are people who have never really done it. All right. They did it, or they did it from afar. And the academics, they read a lot of books, and they even get lauded as significant contributors to the whole lean body of knowledge. Then there's training companies, certification bodies, the black belts and the green belts and the yellow belts and the whatever belts. And then you've got these organizations like Shingo that are supposedly God's gift to certification, and they'll anoint you as being, worthy of their prize, right? So what happens over the years when Every generation changes the message. And it happens. It really happens. And the further we change the message, the more we change the message, the further we get away from the basics. And I'm here to tell you the basics work. Okay? But we get away from that. Our principles became more focused on tools. Tools became checklists. And I'm not against checklists, believe me. And checklists became compliance exercises and audits. Okay, so not good. All right. We become devoid of principles. So many people, self-anointed people who that are listened to, have opinions that if they check themselves against the fundamental principles, those opinions would change drastically. So we've divorced ourselves from the overarching principles, which is not a good thing. All right. So we started counting number of Kaizen events as a benchmark of success for lean. That matters not. And by the way, just ask yourself on all these questions, does your customer care? Okay. How many Kaizen events you did? Do they really care? Right. Respect for people became, hey, we're going to do employee surveys. We're going to just virtual signal that we care by asking them what they think. I don't know. Visual management became wall decorations, kind of like a stage when you do a performance. Lean theater, you got that background of all the posters and all the charts and daily management with all the reporting. Charts described, or I should say, charts disguised as daily management, but no abnormality detection. All it is historical data that it looks really good for the unassuming as they walk through, right? Boards that track things that don't matter. Boards that track overproduction as a green favorable occurrence. I'm supposed to make 100 today. I made 120. Hey, we had a great day. Market green. Again, devoid of principles, okay? We're missing the principle of just in time and overproduction, right? Standard work. If you are doing it, many companies do it and they treat it as a noun, not as a verb. Standard work is something you do, not as something you've done. Oh, yeah, we did standard work. When did you do it? Oh, 3 months ago. Okay. So you made no improvements since then. Well, yeah, we kind of did, but we didn't document it. Okay. And your tech time hasn't changed, right? Oh, yeah, our demand went up. But we did do standard work 3 months ago. Okay. You see what I'm saying? So this is what this is all came down to. They became more activity type endeavors than doing it with a purpose, doing it for meaning. Gemba walks. Most Gemba walks I've been on were virtual signaling exercises. Let's go out and show that we care. And we're going to go out and question people on why are you doing this and why are you doing that, as opposed to going out with a real sincere effort to try to help and understand. Okay. I've talked a lot about, Gemba walks. But, these consultants, for example, CEOs don't know who to hire. They don't know what to hire. They don't know, somebody, has done a few Kaizens in their lifetime and it's pretty good with some of the Japanese terms. They hire them as their transformation experts. And that's kind of like hiring a cook. And then you say he wants to open up a restaurant. Well, a great chef, what does he know about running a restaurant? And what does somebody that knows how to do Kaizen know anything about a transformation? Right? But this is what happens today. And this is why lean gets a black eye. This is why lean, if you want to argue and use the word fails, why it fails. And by the way, all these things I'm talking about over the last 25 years, it's not getting better. Okay. All these things I'm talking about, which is why I'm talking about them, they're not getting better. They're getting worse. Okay. And the further we move away from the originators, the worse the story becomes. Episode 24, I talked about certification and company certification in particular. Okay. So there's been a growth of, first of all, individual belts, black belts, yellow belts, green belts, blue belts. I don't know. belts, right? And I am dead against certification for a lot of different reasons. I'll tell you one example in a minute. You look at lean resumes and lean profiles, everybody seems to be some kind of black belt or master black belt or super duper black belt and all that. And it's starting to lose meaning now. I have no idea. Somebody told me once they were a lean six. I still don't know what lean Six Sigma is. Since, and I'm not trying to be, controversial. I don't know what it is. Okay. Or Lean Sigma. And I was actually inducted into the Shingo Academy, into their Hall of Fame, and I resigned because that organization probably couldn't win their own reward if they put their criteria that they give everybody else that they need to stand up to. They probably wouldn't win their own award. And I won't get into the details, but I resigned from that whole organization. Okay. And I can't see how anybody would care about why a third party, what they say about your lean transformation. The only people I care about are my stakeholders, and they're not one of them. In fact, you can argue they're a supplier because they're charging you money, big money. And if you're not certified, oh yeah, we'll come back and do some consulting for you. We'll get you certified next year. We'll get you up the curve, right? I just care about my stakeholders, my employees, my customers, and my shareholders as my three primary stakeholders. I know there's others, but you attach a big name like Shingo on it, and all of a sudden it's the gold standard of lean. No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay. All right. So I talk about that, and I think the whole thing about certification, and I've talked about this before, and I see this more and more now. It's like, oh, we've arrived. We've arrived. And I think I told the story in a previous episode where I was at a company and they said, Mark, we want you to go see our best plant. Okay, so I flew up and I saw their best plant. And it was a really good plant, by the way. I was very impressed with it. Did a lot of good things. So I came back to the conference room and the whole team was there with the president and his team. And it's, well, Mark, what you think? And at first, I guess I got fooled because I thought they were really interested in my opinion. But I think they wanted me to just tell them that, boy, you guys are super. What a great job, right? So I gave them a lot of positive feedback, but I said, by the way, there's a few things I see here that we need to think about. And I went through it. Well, the president got a little upset with my feedback. He went into another room, into a conference room, came into his office, I should say, came back into the conference room and took the Shingo prize and slammed it down on the desk and say, now talk to me. Do you see what I'm talking about in terms of I've arrived? Now talk to me. There's no, I, so I looked at him and I said, look, let me just call him Jim. That wasn't his name. Jim, look, you've arrived. There's absolutely nothing that I could do to help you. You've hit the pinnacle with that award. I got up and I left. Mark, where are you going? You don't need me here. Seriously, you don't need me here. But I wish you guys the best of luck. Okay. And I left. I actually left. Got an earlier flight and I went home. Okay. That's the danger of these awards. Amongst others, I have a whole episode on it. So go back and I don't know what episode that was. I think I mentioned it earlier, but go back and listen to that episode because why would you waste your time and money? Oh, episode 24. Why would you waste your time and money on this? And why would you care what somebody else thinks about you if they're not key stakeholders? Okay. I don't know. And then you got to ask yourself, do they have the qualifications to be able to really give you feedback that you deserve? And again, I'm not, raining on some of the people that work there, but I just don't understand why anybody would do that. And I didn't allow this to happen at Danaher at all. I never let any of these organizations come in and audit me or, vie for an award or anything because it didn't matter to us. It didn't matter to us. Okay. When you look at the industry today, and you look at people who get certified per se, And I'm sure you've been told this too, and I've been told this. Well, Mark, I know lean. I know. You're telling me stuff I already know. Oh, okay. Sorry to bore you, but I don't see any evidence of you doing what we're talking about. Now, Chihiro Nakao, who was my primary mentor of mine, along with Iwata, God rest Iwata's soul. And Nakao said to me once, "I don't understand Americans when they tell you they know something, but they can't demonstrate it. Then how is it that they could say they know something?" Good point. And I go back to my golf game. I supposedly know how to hit a golf ball. If you ask me, I could probably tell you all the mechanics, all the things you need to do. But you ever seen me golf? Did you ever see my scorecard? You probably wouldn't be able to see me golf all that much because I'd be in the woods looking for my ball. Okay. I don't know how to golf. Okay. Although I think intellectually, I think I do know how to golf. That's why lean is a hands-on game. All right. It's not a spectator sport. So there's a big difference between knowing and being able to do it. Totally different game. Okay. So lean became an industry. And if you would apply the principles of lean to our industry, we fail miserably. We fail miserably. First of all, I have developed a philosophy about any industry, and I just experienced this today with my lawn service. 98% of the players in any industry are mediocre at best. Mediocre. I don't care if it's doctors, lawyers, dentists, real estate agents, car mechanics. I don't care what. 98% are mediocre at best. And there's only 2% that you might put into a, I don't want to use the word world class, but into a exceptional category. Okay. Only 2%. Okay. That's my number. Anyway, you can argue, debate. But, when you see what came out of this industry, this lean industry, in addition to consulting firms and the certification promoters out there that certify everybody because they know better, you got software platforms, you've got conferences, publishing, books. It blew up into an industry in and of itself. And in a lot of respects, kind of like the government, there's no industry if your problems, if you're getting better. There's no, how many of these academics write books telling you you can't do this? Because leaders are bad guys, okay? It can never be done. And let me write another book to tell you about this. Let me tell you another book about how bad leaders are in convincing people who are trying to learn that this can't be done. And I'm here to tell you it can be done. I've witnessed it. I've done it. I've coached people to do it, okay? But there's an industry there. There's no vested interest in a lot of these that I mentioned for you to succeed. Think about it. I mean, they're constantly coming up with new frameworks, new language, new products, new maturity models. That's what Shingo did. Proprietary methodologies that you have to pay for. Okay. And things like Kata. Attach Toyota to anything. There could be a book out there on how to change a tire. You put the word Toyota on it, it's going to sell like wildfire. Okay. Gemba walks, Six Sigma, Lean Sigma. Okay. All these things sell. All these things sell. Okay. Because people are looking for the silver bullet. And I'm here to tell you, the more time has gone on, the less we are relying on, the less we are relying on basics, fundamental basics. of standard work and problem solving. Okay. Toyota Kata. I mean, and people think that's lean. Don't know. I know you may disagree with me. And the silver bullet I'm really afraid of right now is AI. And I'm not downing AI. I use it all the time. Okay. But to think that AI is going to, enhance our lean journey, I'm afraid it's going to, divorce us further from the people doing the work. That's a concern. So there's no silver bullets here. AI, Six Sigma, theory of constraints, demand flow technology, I mean, all these things. And by the way, neither is lean a silver bullet. Okay? There's no silver bullets. It's hard work and it's basics, doing the basics. All right? So you can Gemba walk yourself to death. You can kata yourself to death, whatever that means. And it's not going to matter if you're not doing the fundamental basics. Okay. Toyota was all about, and to me, the genius of Toyota, and I've worked there, visited there several times, learned from the masters that created the Toyota production system. What really, and a lot of people walk into a Toyota in Japan, for example, and they walk away saying, oh, it's no big deal. Because they made the complex look simple. That to me is the definition of genius, okay? And what you don't see is their brilliance in their product design. What you don't see is how that was in concert with their operations and their manufacturing. And all that, right? But what you can't see is the invisible. Anybody could put up an Andon light, but what happens when the Andon light goes on in your company? I was just with a client not too long ago, and they were showing me this new Andon they have for maintenance when a machine goes down. So I said, okay, let's go turn the light on. I'm gonna see what happens. Well, we're not really ready to, to do that yet. Well, why not? I mean, how long has this light been up? Oh, we had it up for 3 or 4 months. Well, when is it going to be something that's meaningful? I said, in all due respect, your business, your factory floor looks like a casino in Las Vegas with all the lights flickering and everything else, but nobody's even moving in relation to those lights, okay? And when I asked, and I've mentioned this in other episodes, I asked the leader at Toyota in Japan how you can allow your competition into your factories. And the answer was, what they need to know, they cannot see. Think about it. What they need to know, they cannot see. Powerful. I didn't know what it meant at the time. It was in 1990, okay? April of 1990. I didn't know what it meant at the time. But it sounded so Japanese, right? And it was. I think I understand it now. Okay. So that's, the whole business about complexity, but the lean industry made it complex and it didn't need to be complex. We made it complex because there's self-preservation in the industry to make it complicated. And it seems like the bigger the consulting companies like McKinsey, it gets even worse. Okay? So ask yourself this question. Okay, when I talk about lean theater, do you have lots of activity with few results? You got Gemba walks, you got Kaizens, you got meetings, you've got, all these different posters going up and everything else, but do you have lots of activity? But not many results. Do your improvement teams own the improvement? Okay. And are leaders engaged? How about metrics? All your metrics are improving, but your business performance is not. A really great example, and I had an episode on on-time delivery. At Danaher, I was adamant that we only cared about on-time delivery to customer request date, not to your promise date. Customer wants it on the 15th, and you don't, oh, I can't get it. I get it to you on the 30th, and you deliver it on the 30th, and you mark your charts green, and you pat yourself on the back. But they're marking you red because they want it on the 15th. Sooner or later, they're going to find somebody who can deliver on the 15th. And then they go away. And as Deming said, that's the biggest cost of poor quality. They went away and didn't tell you. They usually don't call you up and say, hey, we're leaving. Unless it's a big contractor or OEM, right? They just go away. Okay. So I don't know. You look at these metrics, on-time delivery as an example. And I call those type of metrics where we're marking ourselves green, but the customer's marking you red, I call them watermelon KPIs. I didn't invent that name, by the way. Okay. But I adopted it because I loved the analogy. It's a watermelon KPI, green on the outside, red on the inside. Okay. Everybody gets trained. They go to these workshops. They go off to these conferences, but behavior doesn't change. Remember, I talked about the behavior earlier, right? We're talking about behaviors like, changing how you lead, how you think, how you solve problems, how you govern, how you organize, okay? How you manage the business, and how do you treat people? Okay. You have visual boards everywhere. Charts galore. Most of the time, they're up to date. But problem solving is nowhere. We're measuring lagging indicators instead of leading indicators. An assembly problem at the downstream process is not probably where the root cause of that problem is. It's probably in the design or some sub-assembly that was made somewhere else. Okay? So everybody gets trained to go to these conferences, and I've been to these conferences before. Primarily, they teach tools, okay? But also, the people that go to them are not leaders. They're people who were sent there by their boss's boss to go and learn some new technique and bring back some, lean magic that's going to revolutionize the company, okay? So you can be perfect at the tools and have poor performance, or you can be focused and get excellent results. So again, we produce trainers, we produce speakers, authors. I'm one. I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a consultant. But I also have made a crap load of mistakes, and that's what gives me the credibility, okay? But very few people have successfully transformed a company. Very few that are out there today teaching this whole thing. Okay. And we've walked away from basics. I like to use the Vince Lombardi for you foreign people who don't know who that is. He was a famous football coach, our football, US football, and took over the broken Green Bay Packers. And on his very first lesson, he held up a football and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And from there, he worked on the basics of football, tackling, passing, blocking, whatever, right? And he went on to win, I don't know how many championships with his team. I believe all from his whole team, only four made the Hall of Fame over their career. And they named the Lombardi Trophy after him in the Super Bowl, our, final championship game. It's called the Lombardi Trophy. And he worked on the basics. He didn't work on anything fancy. He worked on the basics and it worked. Okay. But again, we don't look upstream for the answers because we don't get compensated there. We get compensated on production, on quality at the end of the line. No incentive to go upstream, it takes too long. And your boss may not have patience for that. Okay. So we missed all this. Short-term thinking, tool obsession, and what have you. Okay. But I'm here to tell you that all this stuff works. If you stick to the basics, stick to the basic principles, fundamental principles. safety, quality, delivery, cost, in that order. Just in time, principle. Respect for people, principle. Flow first, pull second, never push, principle. Okay? All of these things, and there's others, right? Stick with that because this works in, I'm here to tell you, it works in manufacturing, it works in healthcare, aerospace, distribution, consumer products, government, services, insurance, utilities, logging, okay? Oil and gas, fracking. I've been out in fracking mines working with them. Pharma, biotech. I mean, go on the list of industries that we worked in. All kinds of manufacturing on six continents. So we got to figure out, okay, what does real lean look like, right? And we got to develop people. We got to develop leaders. We have to scientifically solve problems. We have to go see what's happening at the Gemba. Continuously learn, which is why I'm against certifications. And think long term, okay? You know, Toyota says they don't build cars, they build people who build cars. Pretty powerful, right? But you look at the corporations today, and some of them are out there touting how great they are at lean, and people getting laid off after 20 years with the company. I had one individual that was told, yeah, your communication style is lacking. We're going to take your people away and we're going to put you on a PIP. Performance improvement plan. That's basically saying you're getting fired. Okay. And he said to the HR people, geez, I've been here for 20 years. When does this communication problem, my inability to communicate, when did that resurrect itself? Because I've been here for 20 years. First time I ever heard about it. And this didn't even come from his boss. It came from the HR department that's doing this PIP. So the disrespect is incredible in corporations today. I've known another couple that got moved, husband, wife, both engineers, moved their whole family. And a year and a half, 2 years later, yeah, we don't need you anymore. Done. You're gone. Uprooted the whole family. Okay. Not good. This is not good. Okay. The industry can, I did some research and there's arguably some 10,000 plus books on lean out there today. Okay. And I discussed this with Jim Womack, who, wrote Lean Thinking and The Machine That Changed the World before that. And matter of fact, Womack called me at Danaher and wanted to put me into Lean Thinking. And I told him no. I asked him one simple question: how is it going to help my customers, my employees, my customers, or my shareholders? And he couldn't answer me. And he still holds a grudge to some degree. I mean, Jim's a great guy, don't get me wrong. But we didn't see any value going into his book. Plus, we didn't want to become a recruiting target. It was the early 90s, so this was just getting off the ground, okay? But you got books focusing on tools. Most of them focus on tools, okay? Which, okay, by themselves, that's fine. Case studies, a lot of them on the Toyota production system, all kinds of people writing about it, whether they ever worked there or not. So I guess that doesn't matter sometimes. Like I said earlier, you put Toyota production system on a book, could be a cookbook. It's going to sell. Okay. Very few books talk about an enterprise operating system and leadership philosophy and practical transformation frameworks. You want to know why? Because very few have done it successfully. All right. And one thing I talked to Jim about is to say, look, the focus on Toyota is great. I think we should learn a lot from them. I have, but what the industry needs today is brownfield. How do you take a brownfield company and transform it? There's some things that happen that you'll never hear at Toyota. Like, take your tech time and shove it up your butt. This told me by a union guy one time. Okay. Take this Japanese crap and shove it where the sun don't shine. I mean, these things happen. You don't get that at a greenfield, okay, like Toyota. So I said, to Jim, you should focus on how did we do it? How did we would be happy to talk to you now, okay? I'll be happy to talk to you. But the industry needs brownfield transformation, not greenfield. And if you try to emulate any company, including Danaher or Toyota, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. I mean, there could be some best practices that you could walk away with, but you're going to fail, okay? So the industry itself is in need of a massive 5S, okay? And I don't know how you do that, okay? But it's convoluted. It's not framed. The framework is not set up in your best interest, okay? But you can ask yourself these questions, you know, are you really practicing lean, or are you performing lean? Okay. Are you developing capability, or are you just collecting tools and activities, check boxes, right? And are you staging theater, or are you really, you know, creating transformation? Yeah, you can argue lean failed, I think, overall. It should be a lot better than this. But many stop practicing the basics. Many does not do not know the basics. The future does not require new tools. We need to rediscover the fundamentals. Going back to the, you know, what would Ono say? Where's your standard work? Probably the first question he would ask you. Maybe the next question is, show me your process to solve problems. If you can do those two things right there, and prioritize what you're working on, you'll be so much better off than all this other noise that's being thrown at you. I see it every day on LinkedIn. It's incredible. Okay. I had one the other day who said, what do you do first? Lean? Six Sigma? Lean Sigma? Theory of constraints? Which one do you do first? What do you do first? Like it's some kind of recipe? Like it's some kind of baking a cake, first thing you do, you throw eggs in a bowl. I don't know. It's like, what kind of question is that? And I would write back to them saying, stop confusing people who are trying to learn. It's a bad question. Shouldn't be asked. But I see this all the time. And usually it's coming from people that have very little experience. Maybe they're trying to start a consulting company. Okay. Hey, more power to them. But know what the hell it is you're talking about before you do stuff like this. Okay. Perhaps the greatest opportunity for the next 25 years. I won't be here 25 years from now. Okay. I don't think I will be anyway. Well, let's see. I could possibly be here 25 years from now. I'm turning 70 in December. So that would put me at 95. It's a long way off. But the greatest opportunity for the next 25 years is not inventing the next lean methodology. Please stop. If you're out there listening to this and you're a consultant, I had a book. Somebody wrote a book and took all of the terminology in a very famous book, I won't mention what it is, and just renamed everything and put it out there as his own. Like he invented all this stuff. Unbelievable. I see it all the time. And that confuses people. Well, how's this book compared to this book? What's the difference? And I'm wasting time looking at that crap while I'm trying to learn and make improvements. I don't need that noise. Want to talk about overproduction? Okay, there you go. The violation of overproduction right there. Right. We have to have the courage to stop the performance, stop the theater. We have to have the courage to focus on the basics. So that's kind of my take. I know it's a little bit negative, but it's realistic. I'm not pulling any punches. This is what I've seen. So my final question to you is, where's your standard work? See you next time. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Lean 911 podcast. I'll be happy to address your questions or feedback on future episodes. Email me at mark@lean911.com. You can check out our other episodes by visiting our website at lean911.com, our YouTube channel, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is your host, Mark DeLuzio. Thanks for listening.